Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee for this February 24th, 2022. Our first item of business is for the Committee Legislative Assistant Dan Dodge to take the role. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Cagle present. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg present.
Petersburg present. Representative Barr.
Here.
Barr present. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi present. Representative Elkins. Representative Elkins. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Frederick present. Representative Hausman.
Present.
Hausman present. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich present.
Heinrich present. Representative Kosnick. Representative Kosnick. Representative Mason.
Mason present.
Mason present. Representative Murphy.
Murphy present.
Murphy present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Nelson present. Representative Olson.
Olson present.
Olson present. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Richardson present. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson present.
Torkelson present. Representative West.
Present.
West present. There is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. Our next item of business on the agenda is approval of the minutes from February 22nd. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have read the minutes and found no discrepancy, so I will move the approval of minutes as presented.
Thanks, Representative Petersburg. Is there any discussion of the minutes? Okay, members, a voice vote here. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All of those opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes from February 22nd are approved. Members, we have two bills on the agenda today. It's a shorter agenda than I had anticipated. We had a request from one of the authors of a bill we were going to look at today related to salvage titles. The author of that bill, Representative Joachim, had requested that we delay action on that bill. So I hope that we'll be hearing that relatively soon. But there's still a little bit more work that needs to be done. So I honored that request, and that bill was removed from the agenda. So today we do have a couple of bills that relate to towing. So we have a theme today. The first bill is House File 2992 with Representative Baker. And this bill will be laid over. I will move that this bill be laid over for a possible inclusion in omnibus transportation finance bill. Welcome back to the committee, Representative Baker. It's great to see you again, and tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. It's great to be back twice in 1 week. So this bill is something I've been working on for a couple of years. This is nothing new, and we're just trying to get some language cleaned up here for our towing operators that get called out to a call by a police officer's law enforcement to come out and clear the road, mostly during the road restriction period of time. All year long, there's times when vehicles of all types of are in these accidents, they become stranded. We've obviously got to get them off the road. On this bill, we've been working with the Township Association to make sure that they understand what we're doing and how we're doing this. And we have been working with MnDOT to make sure that we clean up some language that has been a little bit of a clunkiness for them as well. I think both of those folks are here for testimony if we need it. I believe that, all of this is not opposed by either group. We do have a couple testifiers today, Mr. Chairman. We do have the amendment I'd like to present. And it just, what it is it cleans up the language as brought to us by the MnDOT. This is the language I think that we also had presented over in the Senate side of things. It looks like the bill expands a whole lot, but it just cleans up a lot of the language, Mr. Chairman and members. This annual permit is already in law that you'll see But our bill, the one that I'm bringing forward, is really subsection 3 on the bill. So, Mr. Chairman, if you could, I'd like to have you move the DE amendment, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I will move the DE1 amendment, members. And this is, again, a reminder, amendment simply to get the bill in the shape that the author would like us to consider it. So is there discussion to the DE1? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails, and we have House File 2992 as amended before us. Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to Mr. Klatt. He's been working with me and our partners on this. I'll let him start the testimony to give us more detail about the bill. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thanks, Representative Baker, and welcome to the committee. And Mr. Klatt, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Sure, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lance Klatt, Executive Director of the Minnesota Professional Towing Association. I'm here today with a few of my towing members who could not be here, but we do have one, his name is Lance Bird, who will be testifying after me, asking for your support of House File 2992, authored by Representative Dave Baker. Currently, when a large wrecker slash rotator is called upon to do a job in the winter months, technically under statute currently, our towing operators are breaking the law. In past years, my towing members have received warnings from law enforcement as they are overweight recovering and towing a large truck or trailer or any extremely large vehicle that has overweight exemptions, such as a milk truck or school bus. House File 2992 allows our towing operators to legally do their jobs without worrying about a possible citation, avoiding warnings as they are not currently exempt from local and spring weight exemptions today. The Minnesota Professional Towing Association, with guidance from MnDOT regarding House File 2992, MTA has also reached out to the Minnesota Association of Townships and the Association of Minnesota Counties and been told they are neutral on our bill. The MPTA wanted to be sure we reached out to the interested parties, being respectful, working together for public safety, encouraging professionalism when it comes to our roads and highways. Today, willing to testify in support of House File 2992 is the Minnesota Professional Towing Association Board of Director, Lance Berta. And if needed, I'm available to answer questions as well. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to discuss this with you this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klatt. Members, we'll proceed with the public testimony and then we'll take member questions if there are any after that. So the next testifier is Mr. Lance Berta from the Minnesota Professional Towing Association. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Berta, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
I see Mr. Berta on the call, Mr. Chair. I'm just seeing if we can connect him. One moment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Howe.
Okay. Can I be heard now?
Yes. Well, welcome to the committee, Mr. Berta, and please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. My name is Lance Berta. I currently serve as the Vice President of the Minnesota Professional Towing Association. I have owned and operated my own towing company for close to 20 years here in Minnesota. We would very much appreciate the committee's support of HF 2992, authored by Representative Baker. This bill is a common sense measure that helps towing operators do their job without technically violating current law due to an anomaly in the statutes. As many of you may know, there are local and spring weight restrictions that apply to heavy vehicles on certain roads, but certain exemptions exist for particular types of vehicles, including garbage haulers, school buses, milk trucks, etc. However, if any of those exempted vehicles were to break down, land in a ditch, crash into a body of water, there is no way for a towing operator to legally remove the vehicle, even when requested by law enforcement, because towing vehicles themselves are not exempted from the weight restrictions. We think this was an oversight when the statute was originally passed into law. All this bill does is make it clear that towing operators are able to recover another vehicle that is inoperable on a public highway, has entered a public body of water, or itself exempted from local or spring weight restrictions. The exemption for towers would only apply when we are requested by law enforcement to provide assistance. We are also only exempted while traveling to or from the recovery scene or actually towing the stranded vehicle. We have worked with the Department of Transportation on this bill and have incorporated their suggested language with the delete all amendment concerning a cap on the overall weight that would be exempted. With MnDOT's suggestion, the delete all amendment provides that the towing or recovery vehicle must not exceed a weight of 20,000 pounds per single axle to avoid any undue damage to the roadways. We appreciate MnDOT's willingness to work with us to find a solution to the current statutory framework that left towing operators out of the mix. We also reached out to both Minnesota Association of Townships and the Association of Minnesota Counties to make them aware of our proposal, and with today's delete all amendment, they do not oppose it. They fully understand why we need this legislation and also understand the importance of clearing vehicles from the public roadways for public safety reasons. They agree this bill makes sense. We appreciate Representative Baker's advocacy for this common sense bill, and we would appreciate the committee's support of HF 2992. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burda. I do appreciate that you had conversations with the counties and the townships on this question. So our final testifier is Laura Rhodes. She is the Associate Legal Counsel at MnDOT. Ms. Rhodes, welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Laura Rhodes. I am in MnDOT's Office of Chief Counsel, representing the Office of Freight and Commercial Vehicle Operations. Thank you for your time today and the opportunity to testify on House File 2992. Representative Baker and the other testifiers did a good job of explaining the bill and the intent behind it. And MnDOT has appreciated being part of the ongoing conversation, including the chance to offer input and technical drafting assistance. To add some history and additional details to the comments that have already been made, as Representative Baker said, the DE amendment looks like it's, you know, fairly expansive, but really it's taking the new language in Subdivision 3 and kind of relocating or co-locating two existing provisions into the same statute. So Subdivision 1 is the annual permit for tow trucks, and this was originally passed in 2008. And in 2012, it was moved to a different chapter of law, kind of away from all the other truck size and weight and permit provisions. And so we thought, you know, as part of this effort, for the ease of compliance and finding the laws that apply to you, we thought it made sense to move it back into Chapter 169. The $300 permit fee covers all vehicles that are owned by the applicant, and it's a one-time fee. We did discover recently an unintended consequence created by the statutory changes made in 2020 pertaining to the TIFIA loan and the Highway 14 project, which redirected certain permit fee revenue into a federal loan account. So previously, the fees from the tow truck permit would have been deposited into the Trunk Highway Fund, and with some of that statutory language that got moved around, it's sort of left in limbo. I spoke with Mr. Burris about this issue, and we believe that it would be probably simplest to add some additional language to Subdivision 1, and MnDOT recommends that the permit fee revenue go to the Trunk Highway Fund. But we're happy to continue working on this and help with any technical drafting. Directing it to the Trunk Highway Fund would be consistent with many of the other permits that already exist in law. Subdivision 2 also is something that exists in current law, and it creates an exception from certain weight limits. This was originally passed in 2002, and there are similar provisions for utility vehicles. Language was added on line 1.17 of the DE amendment, to make it clear that a permit is not required. And this has always been the case, but in conversations with the towing association, they felt like it was important to make this very clear, and we are fine with that language. Subdivision 3, as Representative Baker and the other testifiers have mentioned, includes a new exemption from spring load restrictions for towing and recovery vehicles. We know that the roads are at their most fragile during spring load restrictions, and so one of the recommendations that we made in working with the Minnesota County Engineers Association and the engineers at MnDOT was to place that 20,000 pound per single axle limit cap on there, and that's consistent with many of the other exemptions for certain vehicles in spring load restrictions. In addition to that, there is new language on lines 2.2 to 2.4, which clarifies that the exemption applies when the tow is being requested by a law enforcement agency. And then on 2.5 to 2.7, there's a new definition created for recovery vehicles, because that is something that likely, given its special equipment, wouldn't fall under the existing definition of tow truck. So we feel that the language in the DE amendment covers, you know, the concerns that we had as an agency, and with the additional kind of future add-in on where the permit fee revenue goes, we are fine with this. And happy to answer any other questions if members have them.
Thanks so much, Ms. Rhodes. Really appreciate it, and I think the thorough statutory analysis is very helpful, so appreciate it. Okay, members, I don't see any additional testifiers on the list, so we can go now to member questions of the author or any of the testifiers. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll get my video going here as well. To Representative Baker, so it sounds like you have had discussions with the county and the townships, which oftentimes increasing weight limits during the spring has been an issue. Sounds like there is peace in the valley. So am I correct in that assumption?
Representative Baker.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Petersburg, you're correct. I do have a letter I don't want to call it support, but a letter of being neutral on this thing with the Minnesota Association of Townships. I believe we have one, and maybe Mr. Clack can affirm this. I think this was in your packets, but we did spend some time with AMC as well as the townships per the chair of the committee here to make sure that we did have this kind of cleaned up. So, Mr. Clack, do you want to make sure the members know if there's anything outstanding here?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we have actually an email that we can send up to the committee from the Minnesota counties that talk about how they're neutral, and like Representative Baker said, that's, they'll say they come out and support it, but they see no issues with this bill. I can send it off if need be.
Thank you, Mr. Clapp. Representative Petersburg, did you have a follow-up?
Just to say thank you for that clarification. That has always been a little bit of a tricky situation, and sometimes we have to do what is necessary. But with that, it sounds like a great bill. So thank you for bringing that forward, Representative Baker.
Thanks for your question, Representative Petersburg. Representative Mason.
Just a comment. I will be supporting the bill, and I understand it. But when I'm on the road now, it just seems like the trucks are – they're huge, really, really huge. And I'm trying to figure out what the size of a tow truck would be to move some of these huge trucks off the road. So I think it's a safety concern in any event, but just seems to me we need to be a little bit more careful in these larger trucks that we're allowing at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Mason. I don't know if Mr. Clatt or Mr. Berta wants to give us like a very, very brief primer on how you deal with these things, because it is sort of a pretty impressive feat that you can accomplish sometimes. I've noticed that with sometimes when the trucks go off the road in a snowstorm, you know, how you can actually get them out of the ditch. So maybe just a brief primer for Representative Mason.
Sure, Mr. Chair, Representative, I'll turn that over to Lance Burda to answer that technical question.
I'll do the best I can here, I guess, with that question. You know, almost need some sort of example, but you know, if we had a garbage truck or something like that that had just say ran in the ditch on one of these county roads, in this spring road restriction type situation, instead of bringing maybe the biggest truck to do the job, which would be too heavy for those roads, is we would possibly use two smaller ones to accomplish the job.
I think that's helpful, Mr. Burda. Appreciate that. Any follow-up, Representative Mason? Okay, good. All right, let me see if there's any other member questions. I don't see any. So with that, Representative Baker, I'm going to, well, give you the last word here, and then we'll.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the questions. I think Mr. Rhodes from MnDOT explained it well, that we've got a definition of some of these tow trucks are becoming small cranes, and they have extra, axles on their trucks to be, you know, better for the roads. But as the rigs get bigger, we need to identify what these are now. Sometimes they're really small cranes that have to go out there and get these folks recovered. So just with that, again, I think we're set up for a longer term now. I appreciate everybody's working on this with the townships and MnDOT and our partners there. Again, thanks to you, Mr. Chairman, for making us go back and make sure the bill is better as presented today. So we hope this has a good pathway. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your support and members.
Thank you, Representative Baker. And with that, we will lay over House File 2992 as amended for possible inclusion in an omnibus transportation finance and policy bill. Thank you, Representative Baker.
Thank you so much.
Members, we have one more item on our agenda today, and that is House File 3134. This is legislation authored by Representative Moeller. And I will, the motion today for this bill is to refer House File 3134 to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. So that is the motion. I'm making that. And welcome to the committee, Representative Moeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am not moving the amendment that is that you have before you today. So if that's okay with you, I will go ahead and talk about the bill.
We will, thank you. We will consider House File 3134 as is.
All right, great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So members, at one time in our lives, many of us have probably had our cars towed. It isn't a pleasant experience, but for some, like Minnesotans who are homeless and destitute and living in their cars, getting their car towed can be more than unpleasant. It can mean the deprivation of everything they own in the world. For others without means, but who have critically important belongings in their cars, like their identification or prescription medication, not having access to these things can cause a cascade of problems, including threats to health. In 2008, the legislature, recognizing the interests of both our most financially vulnerable Minnesotans and our towing operating businesses, struck a compromise and established a law that allows those who are homeless or otherwise destitute to remove personal belongings out of their towed cars, even if they don't have the finances to pay the towing and storage fees, as long as they presented documentation of their eligibility from a government agency, a nonprofit organization, or legal aid. But while the 2008 bill created this right, it did not create a remedy. And therefore, the law the legislature enacted in 2008 hasn't been followed. The bill before you addresses egregious situations that have come to the attention of legal aid and pro bono attorneys, one of whom you'll hear from shortly. A right without a remedy is no right at all. And the problem this bill seeks to correct is where destitute owners whose cars are towed after they follow the law and provide the necessary documentation only to be wrongfully refused and watch in horror as all their belongings are disposed of and forever lost. Briefly, House File 3134 requires a tow lot operator who refuses to return an eligible car owner's belongings after the owner presents documentation to notify the owner of the reason they are refusing compliance. And to ensure there is a remedy to enforce the right, the bill provides first an enforcement mechanism to allow eligible car owners to get an injunction if there's a violation of the right to retrieve their belongings, if the tow lot operator still has the car. And second, allows for reasonable compensation to the owner if the tow lot operator has wrongfully disposed of all the car's belongings. I'd like to turn it over to my testifier now, Mr. Chair, Ms. Hannah Anderson.
Thank you, Representative Mueller, and welcome to the committee. Ms. Anderson, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Hannah Anderson. I'm an attorney at Bakery Drinker, and I'm working with Ms. Minnesota Legal Aid on the bill before you at the moment. I'm here today to tell you a little bit more about how this bill came to be, what's at stake here, and why it's important for Minnesotans. For those of you that may not be familiar, under current Minnesota law, Minnesotans have an unencumbered right to retrieve any and all contents from a towed vehicle without paying the towing charges if they provide documentation from a government or nonprofit agency or legal aid office that the registered owner is homeless, receives relief based on needs, or is eligible for legal aid services. Unfortunately, in practice, that unencumbered right has not always been respected by towing companies, as Representative Mueller just about. In fact, in the last 2 years, our firm alone was referred to a couple of pro bono cases where our clients have been prevented from retrieving their belongings despite providing the appropriate documentation. The folks at Legal Aid have also confirmed they've received calls from vulnerable Minnesotans facing the same issue. In our firm's cases, our clients were homeless and had been living out of their vehicles at the time the vehicles were towed. So as you can probably imagine, because they were homeless and living out of their vehicles, everything they owned was inside those cars when they were towed away. In one of my cases, our client's car was towed after he got into an accident. Afterwards, he approached the towing company with documentation in hand, and he asked to retrieve his belongings from the towed car. He did so well in advance of the 45-day deadline that applied in his case, and the documentation he provided fell squarely within the language of the statute that I just described for you. In fact, he actually gave them several different examples that he was homeless and was eligible for legal aid services. One of those examples was he provided the towing company with a signed letter from a local nonprofit agency indicating that he was currently homeless. The towing company, in response, told him they wanted more than the statute requires. They told him that he needed to bring back proof from the state or county showing he received benefits. Our client then reached out to Legal Aid and asked for help. Legal Aid contacted the towing company directly and confirmed that he was eligible for and, in fact, was receiving legal aid services based on his indigent status. Again, the towing company refused to release the vehicle's contents and insisted that the client provide documentation that is not required under the statute. Unfortunately, by the time our firm became involved, we learned that the towing company had scrapped the vehicle with all of our client's belongings inside. This is despite the fact that the towing company had received multiple lawful requests to release the contents and had been reminded that they were interpreting the statute too narrowly. The current law, as Representative Mueller just mentioned, it doesn't have any sort of formal mechanism for seeking relief when a towing company flat out refuses to return a vehicle's contents in violation of the statute, like they did with our clients. The bill in front of you today provides some much-needed protection to Minnesotans that find themselves in a situation like this one by providing the right to injunctive relief or limited statutory damages. We feel that when your entire life and all of your worldly possessions are scrapped in an instant, even after you've done exactly what the statute asks you to do, you should be afforded some sort of relief. And we're not talking about anything extravagant here. We're just talking about compensating Minnesotans whose unencumbered right to retrieve their own property has been violated. I'm happy to answer any questions you all might have. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Ms. Anderson. I think we have another testifier, but since we have a little bit of extra time today, because a bill was dropped, maybe members, if you have questions of Ms. Anderson now, we could do those. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, thank you, Representative Mueller, for bringing this forward. I'm a co-author on the bill, and I think it's just something that we need to do. But can you just explain to me what the current law is? How long do the towing companies have to hold on to the vehicle and contents before they have a right to dispose of it.
And just to be clear, Representative Petersburg, your question is directed to Ms. Anderson, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Not the author. Okay.
Yeah, Ms. Anderson. Or either one, if they both know.
Okay. Yeah. They're both well-versed in the law.
Okay.
But we'll start with Ms. Anderson, and if you want to add anything, Representative Mueller, you can. Ms. Anderson.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the current law, there are a couple different waiting periods that apply. In certain scenarios, it's going to be 15 days from that the individual has before the vehicle is eligible to be scrapped. In other circumstances, it's 45 days. So in the case that I was just talking about, our client had 45 days, and he contacted the towing company within that window.
Representative Petersburg?
Thank you. So I think I heard it was breaking up, but I think I heard in some instances it's 15 and sometimes it's 45. I think I'm aware that landlords, if somebody's evicted, they have to hold the property for 30 days. So 15 days just seems a little bit short as well, but maybe not in situations like this. It maybe has to be 45. So thank you for that clarification. I appreciate the input.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Let me see. We have some additional questions. I'm scanning the committee here. I don't see any for Ms. Anderson, so thank you, Ms. Anderson. We do have another testifier. Mr. Klatt is still with us, and if you'd like to testify, Mr. Klatt, welcome back to the committee, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lance Klatt, Executive Director of the Minnesota Professional Towing Association. I'm here to offer my comments on House File 3134 regarding the retrieval of vehicle contents. The Minnesota Professional Towing Association is a trade association of towing companies in Minnesota who are dedicated to supporting and improving the professionalism of the towing industry through education and training. The Minnesota Professional Towing Association represents its members in legislation that affects the industry. We do not believe that there is a widespread problem in the industry of improperly denying financially disadvantaged individuals the right to retrieve the contents of the vehicle without paying for the towing and storage charges. Nevertheless, when Legal Aid proposed a bill that would add a remedy of damages, injunctive relief, and attorney's fees in the event of a wrongful denial of the right to retrieve vehicle contents, we were willing to engage in an effort to find something that would meet the needs of both those who were entitled to retrieve vehicle contents and the operators of the impound lots. We've had several discussions with Ron Elwood, Legal Aid, and his counsel, and we have exchanged drafts. In particular, we have agreed upon a framework in which information would be posted for the benefit of individuals seeking to retrieve contents, and a form would be provided by the impound lot operator if access to retrieve contents was denied, informing the individual what was missing from the identification or information they were providing, and an opportunity for the individual to return the form, explaining why the impound lot operator was wrong before we would end up in litigation. While we have concerns about other provisions in House File 3134 before you, we believe most of those concerns can be addressed through ongoing negotiations. Our primary concern at this point is the need for a specific itemization of what must be presented by the registered owner to retrieve vehicle contents that would be posted for the benefit of individuals seeking to retrieve vehicle contents and would serve as a guide for the impound lot operator. We believe that a specific itemization of these types of identification and documentation required would benefit both owners and operators and virtually eliminate any claim that an individual was wrongfully denied the right to retrieve vehicle contents. I want to assure the committee that while we have concerns about the current proposal, we have not exhausted our negotiations on House File 3134, and we will continue to work toward finding common ground on a bill that both sides involved in this process can support. Thank you for your time, and appreciate the opportunity, and I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Klatt. Representative Petersburg, I see your hand went up first, and then I also know that Representative Moeller would like to, I think, respond as well. So, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And Mr. Klatt, first of all, I also want to say I think most companies, I don't want to generalize that this is a widespread problem either, but I can tell you from somebody who has lost all of their belongings, it's a big deal to them. And so my question to you is, what is the purpose or what is the need that the towing companies see as a need to keep that personal property away from its owner? I mean, what is the end game as to why you think that's important to keep that away from them in regards to towing companies?
Sure. Mr. Klatt.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the end game really is about them doing their job. And when they are called out to impound a vehicle or to do their job, they have money tied into insurance, to property taxes, labor, fuel in that vehicle. All they really want is the ability to be paid for a job they did that day. And just like everybody else would like to be paid for their job as well, and we all do. And that's just their expectations of saying, look, you know, I brought this vehicle back into the impound lot, maybe a private tow, could be a police tow, but these impound lot operators / towing and recovery operators, they're just looking to get back the money that they have expanded into the tow and the recovery of that vehicle. And in talking to some of my board members in a meeting a month ago, a lot of the board members tell me they give the stuff back regardless because it doesn't mean nothing to them in general as far as a t-shirt goes or medication or a walker or any medical device. I know this happens very rarely, but at the end of the day, it's really about them doing their job and trying to figure out how they can pay for the employee that was out there and their insurance of their truck and the property tax. So just covering their expenses. So hopefully that helps.
Representative Petersburg, a follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I understand that they want to get paid for it. You know, I get that. But the personal property that's in that isn't going to help the person who has no money to be able to pay for the towing. And so it seems like it appears almost like extortion to hold somebody who can't pay for something, say, we're going to hold your stuff anyway until you find some way of coming up with those monies. And it just seems kind of really hard-hearted. And I again, don't understand when the law is very specific. If you have no money, it's supposed to be giving to it. And as somebody who then is breaking that law to say, but we want to have a right to determine what the consequences are, is also, I think, something that is unrealistic in regards to criminals. And we don't say, okay, if you do violence against somebody, you need to have input in what the remedy is. This is something that as legislature, we make that determination, and the determination has already been made that they need to get their stuff back and free and clear. And so this is a self-policing issue that has resolved into where now we're having to come back and deal with it again. So I don't really have a lot of confidence in that kind of negotiations. And I'm kind of upset that you guys are playing hardball that way. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. I don't know, Mr. Glad, if you wanted to respond to that, or we do have a couple more questions too, but we have time, so.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative, I mean, they're not trying to extort. What's happening out there is that there's some impound lot operators has informed us that there's confusion among owners about what the owners need to present to retrieve contents. While impound lot operators are sometimes uncertain about what is sufficient or required to retrieve contents, so there's some confusion out there. Even talking legal aid, I said there needs to be an education process here and I think that really needs to happen. But we are also looking for a simple and uniform list so that that would aid both owners and operators so it's documented and it's information. So if somebody would come back, basically make sure individuals are entitled to retrieve contents, they're able to do so and avoid litigation. as I mentioned earlier, that our, I'd say 99.8% of the towing operators give the stuff back to people, their personal contents. It means nothing to them as far as them using it or wanting it. And I know this is a few isolated cases. When you look at the overall, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but all in the last 10 years, all the towing vehicles that have been impounded, how many cases or how many times has this come to a pro bono case with a law firm? And I'd like to think our numbers are really solid. And I'm sorry if representative, you feel like it's some kind of extortion, but we feel it's really not. And at the end of the day, I don't know, maybe there's some way we come up with a system where those who are unfortunate on in their luck and are poverty stricken, maybe there's something out of the uninsured motorist pool or something that can help rebate back $100 for the tow or something, and maybe all this will go away and not leave it up to chance. But our workers, our towing work employees and impound lot workers, they do really work hard, and they're not trying to extort people. They're honest people. They work hard just like everybody else does. And I think at some point it'd be nice if we could find a way to help these unfortunate people who have had bad luck in their lives. And I'm not mistaking that at all. And these guys aren't trying to extort. We're just trying to help a situation and be more specific, but at the same time, make sure it works for both people. And again, we're more than willing to work with legal aid on more negotiations. And we appreciate the question. And I, at that point, I don't know what else to tell you, but we're trying really hard.
Thank you, Mr. Klatt. I think we'll move on to Representative Moeller, yeah, a question or a comment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things. The default really should be to give somebody their stuff back. This is a limited number of Minnesotans for whom this applies. However, it is happening around the state. It isn't just the one incident that Ms. Anderson mentioned. And if the concern is to avoid litigation, the best way to do that is to give somebody their stuff back. You know, I do appreciate the fact that there have been ongoing negotiations, and I wanted everybody to take a look at the DE amendment that we didn't offer. Frankly, I don't like the amendment. Legal aid gave up a lot in order to, in several rounds of negotiations. If you look at all of the hoops that people will have to jump through just to get their stuff back, those begin on lines 2.3. And, you know, certainly if the stakeholders can reach an agreement, I will offer that amendment and introduce it. But this just shows all of the hoops that they're making people whose stuff they are keeping against the law makes them have to jump through. And now they want to add to that a list of specific documents. And I'll just say, as a lawyer, we have a lot of laws on our books. We have thousands of pages of statutes. And now they want to add a list of documents into this, which will make this even longer. It doesn't need to be that complicated. The bottom line is, to avoid litigation, give stuff back to people who are entitled to have their stuff back. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks for that, Representative Moeller. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And more of a comment, I think, than anything. I will not repeat a number of comments that were made that I agree with, but I do want to just lift up what Representative Petersburg talked to, because I think those are really important points, and in agreement with assertions that he had. I know that this has been sort of talked about as not being believed of being widespread, and I didn't hear any statistics around how often this is happening. And I'm also concerned that if we are just looking at the cases that actually go to like legal aid through a pro bono process, we're probably missing others who don't know that there's resources that are out there. And I think that's very common, especially with individuals who are low income, facing barriers. I mean, if these are individuals who are homeless and living within their vehicles, there often isn't a lot of time to be thinking about how you navigate through, you know, different service pieces. So I would assume that there's probably a higher rate than what is reported just based upon the pro bono intersections. And I just want to get clarification, I guess, around one thing maybe from Mr. Platt. So there was a statement that he talked about, you know, relating to some pieces of personal property that people aren't concerned about, walkers, medication, things like that. Is there any information around personal property that might be of value that is not being returned? Is there any indication about what that looks like?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I didn't mean it that way. I think what I'm trying to say is that every content to any person in life or in society is important. And it doesn't matter what you or I think what is important or the toll owner-operator in the impound lot, okay? Somebody needs medication. They need a medical device. It's important to them. If it's a diamond ring, it's important to them. It has value to them. What I was trying to say earlier is that majority, I'd say again, 99% of our towing operators, it's important to the person that wants the items. So my owner operators give that to them regardless. They want them to have it. It means something to them. Okay. We also have some opportunities where if somebody doesn't give the proper information and they go and retrieve the contents of the vehicle and it isn't theirs, and then somebody comes back 10 days later, say, hey, I'm looking to get my jacket or I'm looking to get this medical device and we gave it to the wrong person. So we're just trying to help the impound lot operator who may be a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old that's making $20 an hour, $15 an hour, and it's 10 o'clock at night. We're just trying to help them with a process that can help them know what the statutes really are. And we even talk about posting, you know, the statutes and posting the rules at the impound lot yard so that the person who's trying to retrieve the items know the law, but also more importantly that we want to make sure tow lot operators know the law. And it's also, I've mentioned this in meetings with legal aid about education, and we can never have enough education in society or in life or in our industries. And so, you know, everything, again, to answer your question, everything in life means something to someone. And does it mean a lot to my towers? Not personally, but they know that when somebody needs it, I will tell you that a vast majority would give that up to them because they are people that work hard and they understand the hardships of what life can bring. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klatt. Did you have a follow-up, Representative Richardson?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. All righty. Let's see here. I don't see any other member questions or comments. So, Representative Mueller, did you want to give us a last summary here before we vote on your bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I'm glad to hear Mr. Klatt say that the vast majority would comply with the law, but unfortunately not everybody is complying with the law. And it's been around since 2008. We wouldn't be here asking for this legislation if there wasn't a problem. This is really a David and Goliath situation for folks, and I just really want to thank you for your support, Chair members, or Mr. Chair and members, and, you know, I do hope the stakeholders will continue to work together. Maybe we can reach a resolution at the next stop in judiciary. Thanks for your support.
Thank you for the bill, Representative Mueller, and members, and I do appreciate, again, everybody's hanging in there at the table and trying to work through some of these issues. But I do believe that this bill is in good shape and ready to go to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. So with that, I will renew my motion that House File 3134 be referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. And Mr. Dodge, please take the roll.
Chair Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Vice Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg, aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr?
Pass.
Excuse me, what was that, Representative Barr?
Pass.
Representative Barr, pass. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosmic?
Kosmic, aye.
Kosmic, aye. Representative Mason?
Mason, aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
West, aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
Okay. Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, Representative Mueller. You are on your way to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. And with that, members, just one quick announcement. We are going to have our next scheduled meeting on Tuesday. And that meeting will be concluding the series of presentations on the governor's budget. We've already heard from MnDOT and the Department of Public Safety. On Tuesday, we'll be hearing from the Metropolitan Council. In addition to their presentation on the budget, on their budget, we'll also be getting an update on the Southwest Light Rail Transit Project, also known as the Green Line Extension. And so that will be the item for discussion on Tuesday. So with that, members, have a very good weekend, and this meeting is adjourned.